Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Jen Golden and Lauren Leonelli from the podcast It's Complicated to talk about everything from breakups to sex toys. Topics include the right and wrong ways to break up with your partner, top tips for relaxing into oral sex so you can actually enjoy it, how to ease back into dating and get over your nerves, and why being mindful of your breath during sex can make it even more pleasurable. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out everything we do there at sexwithemily.com. You can find us on all social media at Sex with Emily across the board. Also, SiriusXM, 5 days a week, you guys. It's awesome. I'm there Monday through Friday on Channel Stars 109. And so, check it out. It is a good time. I really love these girls. I hope you enjoy today's interview. I want to welcome my guests, Jen Golden and Lauren Leonelli, hosts of the It's Complicated podcast. You can find them on AfterBuzz TV and at Complicated Show on Instagram. Welcome, ladies, Jen and Lauren.
Thank you for having us. We're very aroused.
Are you already aroused?
I was going to say excited, but I felt like aroused was a better word.
It's a good choice. Good choice.
Well, it's great to have you because I was on their podcast. It was like our first date.
And it went so well.
It went so well. Like, I wanted to keep going. I think we jumped right into anal, though.
Oh, we did.
It was our first date, but we jumped to anal talk.
Yes.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
No, we really wanted to know about what to do about anal.
Right. And so we talked about it because I think it was your boyfriend was curious about it, wanted it, was encouraging it.
Yes. My boyfriend,
Lauren,
he talks about participating in anal, asking like
participating.
Do you want, can we, anal. Don't you think we
sign
should?
Sign this pledge form.
Yeah. just bringing it up enough that I'm like, okay. I mean, I hadn't ever really tried it. Right. I attempted at one point years back, and I just, it didn't seem to go so good. So right. I was a little hesitant. But yes, then I said, okay, fine. If he really wants to do it, I mean, maybe I should, some people really like it. Maybe I should try. Like, what if I like it? But right. I did not.
Oh, right. But in the past. Or did you try it again?
Well, no. Then we tried it, and... Right. We used the we used the worst lube ever that you guys are going to, if you don't remember, you're going to be upset at me for saying that we used this, but it was olive oil.
Oh, right. I remember that, Jamie, all this. Okay, that's right. Well, olive oil.
Jamie, is that even a lube? I think that's just
olive oil is an oil.
Right.
That you put on your, it makes salad dressing right. or put it on your chicken they're or whatever.
Not all
I don't
created,
cook.
They're not all created but, equally, Lauren.
No olive oil at all. But then we've given you lube since then, I believe. Or no, have we not? This is your first four. Okay.
No.
So we're going to give you some lube. This is the third olive oil as lube story I've heard. Producer Jamie.
Yes. So my guy that I'm seeing, I gave him a toy. It's a male toy because we don't have many penises around here to test things. And I was like, you're probably going to want to use lube with it, you know, just so you can get your sucker on in there. And he told me that he used olive oil. And I was like, why did you do that? He's like, well, I didn't have anything else. And I just felt like I did him a disservice.
Because
how did
angry.
I not give him any lube yet?
Yeah. I mean, how could
you? We have pounds of lube. That's
yeah.
I know. So I felt like it was my fault that he used the olive oil.
It was your fault.
It was your fault. Because you've been with him for a while. And you've been working here for 3 years. And you've pounds of lube. But that's okay. We'll let that go.
But also, did you give him a deadline for when he needed to try it by? Like, why would that day did he have to do it
no,
with the olive oil?
I don't
oil?
Know. He was just
Couldn't
curious. I wasn't there. I don't know, but he's got lube now, so we're
okay, good. So we've got lots of lube. You guys are going to leave with packages of lube. Yes. And you guys, on the show, you've heard me talk a lot about my anal tips. I don't think I have to get into it all
Breathing.
Now. Going slow, breathe.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have to start every show with anal.
I mean, it's kind
sure.
of a tradition with us.
It really is. It really is. So what have you guys been up to? Tell me the latest.
We are just we had a, yeah. we just had our 150th episode.
Congratulations.
Yay.
That's a lot of episodes.
So much talking.
Not as much as you, Emily, but right. one can dream.
Right.
We'll get there.
Yeah, you'll get
150
is a lot.
Somewhere.
You'll get to 5,000. So wait, so tell me about your experience. So it's complicated. Let's talk about your show a little bit. So people haven't listened to it because we already know we've got some podcast listeners here. So tell me, and radio listeners, and people like to listen. So how do you explain your podcast? Do you give advice, dating?
We do give advice. We give our own personal stories. We do all of the research for everybody as to what's going on in the world of dating and relationships and talk about hot topics. And we always have a really fun guest on to talk about their experience with all such things.
Yeah, we pick a relatable topic that has to do with relationships, and like we talk about codependency, or we talk about like how to break up correctly, or anything that we think like people might have either a misconception about or are getting wrong often, or like we had an experience that we really want to share. So we'll be like, oh, let's make the topic about this.
Like breakups when
like
I went
breakups.
Through one.
Yeah.
We
okay, I'm so glad you brought that up, Jen, because we met, you were in the relationship. We actually, when I was on your show, It's Complicated, we talked about your, and honestly, can I just be, I was like, oh, I'm not sure about him because I hope he's not, I don't care if he listens. I wasn't happy that you weren't, it had only been a few months, I don't know how long it had been, not less than a year, right?
Definitely less
only
than a year.
Only a few months,
and,
yeah.
And like, let me just say this. I believe that sex, at least the first year, you're going to have some fits and starts, but it should be getting some needs met. It should be getting better,
yes.
not worse. And I felt like you were not getting basic needs met, that I would have, my thoughts were like, I'm not sure this is long for this world. But sure enough, you were like, we broke up.
We did. And honestly, if anyone should have broken up with anyone, it should have been me breaking up with him because the sex was not good.
Right.
Like, I feel bad saying it was bad, but no, it was bad.
So let's talk for a second, because I often, in fact, my show was built on that bedrock of bad sex. I was like, I've had enough bad sex. I would like to learn what great sex means. And so, but let's talk for you. What was bad sex? What did that mean for you?
It was very like disconnected. Like, I don't think that we were in sync at all. I don't think that there was like passion there. Also, it was just like awkward. Like, it felt like a round, what is the saying? A round peg.
Never gets this right. Putting a square peg in a round hole.
That thing.
That
was like Lauren's first time anal experience.
It was very much so.
Yeah. No, so I get it. Yeah. So it just felt.
Also, his, item was shaped a little weird.
Oh, gosh. Like, okay.
Does that necessarily, that's not bad, right, Emily?
Well, I don't think a weirdly or oddly shaped to you penis is a problem. Because for some people, like I remember people like, oh, I have a crooked penis. Is that okay? And for a lot of people, it's like that could hit your G-spot. That could be great.
Okay. But that wasn't this.
It was not curved to your curvature.
No, it's... Okay, I went down the rabbit hole on the internet, obviously, and I Googled cone-shaped penis. And I think it's actually like you break your penis at some point, and then it's like that, and you actually might need surgery.
Oh.
Yeah.
A cone, like a full-on, like a pointy tip, and then it was got a lot...
gets bigger at the bottom?
It's like this, like a triangle comes to like a point.
The head is like a point.
Right, and it just gets wider and to the like the where it gets...
The base. Wow, okay.
That doesn't sound comfortable.
No.
Or to me at all.
It was just like weird and like odd sensations, and none of it worked out. It just
everything, right? There wasn't the chemistry, and you wanted more oral sex, talked about.
Just any. Any would have been good.
Thank you. Any oral. Grounds for dismissal. No oral after you ask and talk about it.
Oh, no, I hadn't. The thing is, you came on the show and my goal was to start talking about it. And he even listened to the show when you came on. And at that point, I think the next time I saw him, he like started to go down on me, but then like didn't stay down there long enough. Because I'm like, now I'm nervous that you're down there. Like, I'm in my head, sucker.
Well, stay. Emily gave a good tip that I would like to re-point out and say that it's also communication. And you said you don't really want to talk about this like in the bedroom, but beforehand, talk about candidly, like if that's the case. So if you're comfortable enough, you would say like, I really like it when you go down on me. And listen, like I have to get out of my head for a second. It's going to take me a second. So just know that like you're going to have to be down there for a little bit because it takes me a while to warm up to the situation. Like a warning is fair. Yeah, and then absolutely. It takes the pressure off you.
Exactly. Good memory. That's what I always say. You got to settle into it. Because to me, for oral sex, what I think... I said, or my intention was that for women, we get so worried, like, am I taking too long? Does he really want to be doing this? We're staring at the clock. It's been 12 minutes, now 13. So the best thing our partners can do when they're performing oral is say, hey, babe, I got this. I love you. Taste so good. I've got all night. Lay back. I'm not going anywhere. And like, let us relax.
That
into
would be
it.
Really nice.
I feel like saying, babe, settle in. Like, you can... We're like, good, I'm going to do it then. I'll be here for an hour. I'll go down for an hour or whatever you want.
Is there like a normal time frame that it should happen in?
Nope. There is no normal when it comes to that. I think that some women, it could be 3 minutes. Some, it could be an hour. Like how your partner wants to do it.
I always was pretty uncomfortable with it. I was in my head about it. Yeah. Like, oh, your face is in my vagina. Like, what is going on? Like, I feel very uncomfortable by it. But I will say it's true. My boyfriend now is very vocal about like, I want to do this. I want to be here. This, I love doing this. Like, even if I say, no, he's like, no, please. Like, and it helps because now it's something that I'm not uncomfortable with and he's pretty good at it and it results in a good positive thing every time.
A good positive word. Has this always been or lately he's...
No. Oh, him always, yes. Okay. But only him, really. That's like, he's only... It's because he made me feel comfortable. Like, it's massively important.
Yeah. Lord, that's so true. And I love that you're saying this because that's the proof. For so many women, the best sex, I think, you know, we can talk about bad sex, but for really great sex where women report having the most orgasms, the most pleasure and satisfaction is when they feel safe.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So he makes you feel like I'm in it. I got it. And he believes it. So love all of that.
I know. It's good.
I know. It's good. Mm-hmm. So you guys are having good sex. That's great. You gave some advice on the breakup show. Yeah. What are some breakup tips for people? I did a breakup show like about a year ago. I have to say it was one of the most popular shows. People were like, your breakup show helped me get through the breakup. So I'm wondering, what did you guys talk about it? Maybe if it's even don'ts or do's.
Don't, yeah, don'ts.
It sounds like it was some don'ts.
Yeah. One is don't break up with somebody over the phone.
Yes, that is not okay. But like we said, make sure that how you break up with somebody is directly related to the amount of time the relationship is. So like if it's been like a month or something and you feel like, okay, we've gone on like 4 dates, but we did talk about being exclusive maybe at some point and maybe that was premature, like maybe it's okay to like have the conversation over the phone.
That's
potentially
okay.
Yes, but like, you know, so then also if it's been like a certain amount of time, you owe that
like
person
if you've
respect.
Met other people's family members.
Yeah,
and you're talking about the future and getting to know that person's child. for instance. Yeah, no, you do that in person, face to face, not over the phone. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, don't be all kinds of wishy-washy with the reason for it. Like, pick a lane, stick in it, and then, like, make it about you, not the other person, so that they have closure.
Yeah, or just...
Or be honest. Like, if it is about them, then give them some sort of information that they can grow from, because you're not doing them any sort of service.
Try not to, and this is in also just communication with your partner while you're with them, too, but you have to try to come from a place of not blaming or shaming.
Right.
Because ultimately, it is your choice. You've got to find why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Even if it's reactive to somebody else, just deliver the message from inside, from you, and how you know you try not to say, like, you make me, when you do that, you make me feel this way. Like, really, nobody's responsible making you feel a certain way unless you're having sex, and then there we go. But
true,
for the most part, it's, you know, try to deliver, it's all about delivery, which was like kind of the whole message, right? Like, don't deliver it over the phone, or when you're delivering somebody, you know, some information that might be a little bit hurtful, just be nice about it. Like, don't be a dick.
It sounds like he didn't have a lot of the emotional tools.
Oh, not at
all. Oh, no.
But then he listened to our show about, like, our breakups and told me that he needed to go to therapy, and that it was a reality check, and that he really learned a lot about himself from it, because I was like, I'm a pretty factual person. I don't really exaggerate unless, like, it's about my own self and I, like, think it's funny, so I'll make it sound funnier. But when I was talking about him, I was like, this happened and this happened and this happened. And he said all these things. And that's why this breakup is so odd to me, because he was the one pushing for this relationship the whole time. So he heard all of these facts and was like, whoa, hold on a second.
Wow, so this is amazing. So he actually heard it. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're right, or did he apologize?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
See, that's...
He did.
The power of the podcast.
That's what I was going to say. It was actually very helpful to think in that moment that, and it's like you, that somebody specifically and personally was affected by the specific and personal situation you were talking about. But the hope is, and the goal is that other people are listening and relating too. Like, that's what, that's absolutely why we share the intimate moments.
Because, exactly.
And then we just talked about this on our 150th episode. Like, that we have no regrets. I mean, you talk about the most personal stuff, but you're being authentic and you want to share this with people to help people. And so you'll talk about anything, threesomes, whatever you want, like things that people normally wouldn't want to share. And we have girlfriends that don't want to talk about relationships and stuff, but we're like, we don't, we're being authentic. We want to share and we want to help. So there's really no boundaries and no regrets for what we say. In this situation with the ex, it was so helpful.
It was. And actually, on our show, our 150th show, I referred to us as, like, Good Samaritans. Like, now that we do this and we live in this relationship world, I feel like we have to chime in. It's our moral, like, duty to, if we see something, we have to say something.
Yeah.
Basically. So, If I can give advice to anybody at this point, or you could give advice, we have to help them, because it's also, like, authentic to, I think, who we are. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is not just a show for us where we're entertaining people. Like, we live and breathe this at this point, which, right, I'm sure you do, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All everything. The sex.
All the sex, all the time. But I think that is a great point. And I think we do learn a lot from other people's stories, which is, you know, I think that's great that you guys are here and that he actually listened. I'm too bad he didn't listen to the oral sex episode. It sounds like when I was on, he listened a little bit.
He did. It just didn't, like, didn't work. It didn't land.
That didn't click, but didn't the breakup land. One. Yeah. So let's talk about a good kind of breakup then. Or what did, you know?
Like, how to handle it well?
I don't know. Yeah. It would have been nice to maybe have him take you out for dinner. But then let me do a flip side of that. I had someone who said to me, why did he take me out to, it was a friend of mine a while ago. She said, why would he take me out to dinner? We ordered food and I'm waiting for the food to come. And he's like, I don't think this is working.
All right. That's the wrong time.
Could it have been a coffee? Like, maybe some, you know.
We talked about that. I mean,
here's the thing in terms of this, what he could have done better was, we actually had, I saw him on a Tuesday. He called me on a Wednesday and broke up with me. But we'd actually had plans scheduled for the following Friday. So he could have waited until Friday and said, I'm going to come to you for a date, and brought all my stuff with him. And then he could have just come over before we were, like, what I thought would have maybe been going to dinner. And then said, it's not working or whatever. And then I would at least be home.
Yeah, right.
I'd already be here. And then he could have left and we would have done it in person and I'd have all my things. Instead, I didn't have my things.
At the end of the day, the conversation, no matter how it happens, I guess, it's always going to hurt. And you're probably always going to extract, as the receiver of some news like that, like something negative, because it either hurts your ego, or it just if you feel rejected or whatever. So, of course, you're going to be like, this sucks, and there's going to be reasons why it sucks, but we're just trying to help it suck less. So there's a lot of things you can do to help lighten the blow or lessen the blow, and you should be, you know, aware of those things, because relationships are scary for everybody, and it's also hard to deliver the news too.
It if really you're the is. One. It is. It's hard all around, but I think that's good advice, to be real and to be honest and to treat the person like a human being, like he was with you for whatever it is, a few months, even if it's a night, you want to treat someone with respect.
Agreed.
It is a
Absolutely.
Human being.
And when they don't, that's almost when it feels worse, because then you're like, wait a second, I actually mean even less to you than I thought.
Right.
Because you are treating me so poorly. So that's why I think if you still, like if I didn't kill anybody in his family or like, you know, cheat on him, like he should still treat me with respect, and that he didn't do that.
Okay. Well, I did feel like he learned a lesson though, so that's great.
Hope so.
I feel like the relationships are where we do our best work. So I think that when you're in or out, how you get out of it was really good work. So are you dating now?
You know, I'm just the bachelorette in my own mind, and I'm dating everyone. My therapist told me I have to do that. She's
I think
make it your job.
To date everyone. I think she's,
she's really
purposely
good at
dating.
It. She's really good at it.
I think you would be. I think that you're probably meeting people all over the place, you know?
Well, really just on dating apps.
Really?
I'm still waiting for my friends to set me up. I guess I need new friends.
She's down for any kind of setup. Just the dating app. Jen likes to really take control of a situation. She will let herself feel bad about something, like normally go through the emotions, but she for sure does not like throw a pity party. She will like allow herself to cry for 5 minutes, and then she'll be like, okay, now I have to do something good, like to balance it out. And so the dating apps are good for her, or somebody like her that wants to like kind of take proactive.
No, I think that's really healthy. I think if you're into the apps, I think it's a great way just to kind of get your foot back out, dip your toe in the dating water,
yeah,
and get out there. And in the meanwhile, when you're not, I think it's important to continue to just kind of self-love after a breakup. If it could be really hard, it's good to, you know, love yourself, build yourself back up again, take some classes, work out, use some toys. Like,
oh,
you guys
yeah.
are sitting there. I gave them some magic wands when they walked in. I'm not sure. I didn't actually do it. I was in the room. You walked in, and then you had the magic wands there.
It happened so fast.
And you guys hadn't seen. So we had our sex toy closet open.
First of all, the sex toy closet, holy Moses.
Right. It's pretty amazing.
And it's really organized, which, you know, just I love so much.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's Sarah, our assistant producer. She did it. She organized. She helped.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's one of my most proudest, what do I say, possessions or proudest things on display. So you had some questions about the magic wand, because I know it's kind of, it large vibrator. You don't put it inside of you. It's actually, we call it the Cadillac of all vibrators. It's great for clitoral stimulation.
You need the giant thing for that tiny little part of your body. This whole thing is
supposed to be a massager. Well, here's the story. So it's been around for 50 years, the magic wand.
Okay.
So the magic wand was started as a massager, personally, because on your back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of need that too.
Well, exactly. So
cool.
It's a twofer, and it used to have it's the most powerful vibrator plugged into the wall. It has a cord.
Oh my God.
And it was like, oh my God, it's like, it's like a power tool. So, but then someone realized at some point, like, oh my God, it actually feels really good. That's, you know, on my genitalia, on my pubic mound.
You are that person that would be like, you know, the 50s or 60s, whenever it was. I feel like Emily's the girl who's like, this massager is great. What about?
I wish I could take credit. Right. So it's been around, and people love the magic wand. I mean, it is really a favorite. You use it. It's like the sure thing is what I call it for vibrators. It's fun. It can feel great on a partner. You can use it over your underwear. Some people can be. What?
How? Oh, you mean like for
like
the guy
massage.
To use it on you?
He could use it on you. You could give him a massage with it.
Okay.
Mix in a massage candle.
It's multi-purpose. But where do you put it? Because like, I feel like normal drawers aren't even this big.
Yeah, but this are. Is the good thing about
That's
it, though. It looks like a massager.
It does
so
look like a massager.
So you don't have to hide it.
It actually is a massager. So, yeah. And
right.
you just charge it, and it's great. Have you guys used toys before?
Yes.
Okay. What did you like using?
Oh, just a regular vibrator, like from Amazon. I think it was $9.
Okay. Oh, right. So this one's not. The magic wand is more. You're going to have that one for a while.
great. Yeah. I've had the $9 one actually for a while, but I don't like having to replace batteries.
Oh, it's a battery. Time, that's rechargeable.
There was a time I would go to work and steal batteries. I'm like, oh man, that mouse is out of batteries again.
The mouse. What happened to the mouse?
I love that she was stealing batteries from work like a teenage girl.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We worked at like...
You did not.
The tech company.
Yes.
Yeah, I would take batteries.
They deserved it.
They did.
No, it's funny because that is the most toys were battery operated until about maybe 5 years ago. Now they're all rechargeable. So you never have that problem. Just make sure that it's charged.
Make sure it's ready so it doesn't die out in the mid-session.
That's the worst. That's actually the worst sex I ever had. Was when I was about to have an orgasm and it died.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
It's kind of depressing. Oh. Yeah. No. So, yeah. What about the best sex you guys have had?
I honestly, mine is with my boyfriend. Because for me, it's really being comfortable. Like, that's huge for me. I think that having an orgasm is very, like, mental, cerebral for me. And he is the only guy that I've consistently had an orgasm with. Only ever all. And I haven't had sex with like a ton of people, but enough to say like it's definitely because I feel really comfortable with him. I'm also like in my 30s. And I think a woman really comes into her own sexuality. That's like her sexual peak, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's for a some lot women of
it is. Yeah.
A lot of things like aligning, but he just makes me feel like he's in it to win it. He wants to be there. He's loving everything that's going on. And that just really helps me feel comfortable. And then I am not in my head thinking about, like you said, is this taking too long? What am I doing? Is this, does it look okay?
Right,
all that.
Right.
Like, do guys even know that that happens? I mean, I guess if they listen to your show, they do.
If they listen to my show, they know it happens. Yeah. Because we talk about it all the time. But men have that anxiety as well. They're worrying, does she see that my penis is shaped like a cone? Does she, you know, am I coming too quick? Am I, you know, is she liking this? Does she, you know, what's going to, everything. Am I lasting too long? Did she notice I gained too, wait, I mean, men worry about a lot of the same things.
I guess it's, why wouldn't it be any different?
Right. It's true. So I think we talk about that a lot on the show because and that people feel bad about it. And it can be really destructive if you can't get out of your head during sex. For a lot of people, they just can't have the orgasms, you know, and it is women and men. So a lot of the, I would say most of the challenges we have are on orgasm and performance is because we're in our head. Sure, mm-hmm. There can be physical things going on, but a lot of times just like we're worried. So like, just think about if you are in your head, obviously the blood's like rushing to the blood's in your head, not in your genitals.
Yeah.
So the second you can kind of put that energy back towards what you're feeling in the moment, the connection you have with your partner and that love, then you'll be more likely to have amazing sex and great orgasms.
And it's true because it's happening. So
also breathing helps. I forget to breathe.
Yes, I do too.
Especially if I'm nervous or thinking, I'm like, I just hold my breath. Like I should be an Olympic swimmer, but I am not.
Yeah, you're right. Breathing is, you know, I guess if we don't breathe, we're dead.
Yeah, simple
and
things.
Yeah, it's true. During sex, it is true to breathe. I think that was one thing Jamie said when I talk on the show a lot. And didn't you have, during sex one time, you didn't think you were going to have an orgasm. You're like, let me try the breath thing that we talk about.
Yeah, no, because I realize it's like, you know, sometimes you brace yourself. You're like, no, it's going to happen. You try to like force it. Like if you push it, like you just push it out of your vagina.
Yeah.
But like Emily's just like, oh yeah, breathing. And I was like, huh. So I went home or whatever. My guy came over and I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep breathing deeply. And like
when you felt it building up kind of?
Yeah, okay. Like I started just to do, and it was crazy because normally I'm like, I kind of need to not breathe to like get it over the edge. But it was like, I actually had just a way more intense orgasm when I breathed.
Yeah.
What do you? And like it just pushed. Yeah. It was great. And then I told her the next day and it was amazing. Yes.
Oh, I need to tell stories. I need to keep that in mind. I don't even think I'm like consciously thinking about if I'm breathing or not breathing. I don't think I hold my breath, but I don't think I even thought about it. But I feel like there is a consistent problem for me though.
Oh yeah.
And I need help with this. So if I have, I would say like if it's like two drinks or something, it's fine. But if it's like more than that, and maybe, okay, if it's more than that, I don't feel like I can have an orgasm.
Yeah, very common.
And I also then wonder, I tell myself in the middle, like, oh, it's because I'm not getting there like I thought I would. And then I get in my head and go, oh, it's because of the drink. So now it's not going to happen. So now I'm just like, and then I just give up. And I'm like, oh, how do I, let's do something to make him go because I'm I just give up or whatever. But is that a real thing? And how can you push through it if it is a real thing?
That's such a good question, because yes, they're both real things. So yes, you can absolutely drink too much and that can inhibit your ability to orgasm, which is a bummer because a lot of people use alcohol as a sexual lubricant besides the action and, you know, besides olive oil or lube. They actually do. And it's like, you know, but that it's great because it got you in the mood, but then you can't come. And that is true. But I think also, I'll bet if you, when you have that, so it could also be that you're thinking about it, because I'm sure it's not every time you probably can get there. Yes. So it's really a matter of you having that thought and then going back to either it's a positive thought, like, but I am going to have an orgasm. And then you go back to your, you go back to what you're feeling in the moment. It's always going back to the sensations that you're feeling in the moment. You can have that thought, why'd you have that extra drink? You're not going to come now to, what am I feeling? Oh, that actually feels good. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to, oh, why'd you do that, Lauren? You should have had that extra margarita. Okay, back to the breath. And it's like meditation in yoga. Right, Jen, I know you do a lot of yoga because I follow your Instagram and all your pretty pictures. But like, it's really that. I mean, it's a matter of tripping out on it and going back into the moment and breathing. And even just building yourself up, like, I'm going to have this drink, I'm also going to have an orgasm. It's flipping that thought, flipping it. So I hope I hear from you next time that you're able to get through it.
Ooh, I like that.
I have a question.
Jen, yes.
Call on me. So I realized that, so my best sex was with my ex-boyfriend, which was 5 freaking years ago. And then after that, it, like, I would date somebody for a couple months, and like, I think by the time I would start being comfortable, it would like be the end of the relationship. So like, I never really had good sex with these like interlopers, basically.
Yeah.
And so
that's hard to do.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know you really yet. Like, you're new still. So I feel like at this point, like, I used to be real good at sex. My ex-boyfriend even told his current girlfriend, like, no, that was my best sex about me.
Wow.
And I'm like,
wait, why do you think you're really good at it? Like, what do you, did you have, like, tricks? Why do I think? No, I'm just saying, like, what were your, are you like, when I pull this, and this out of my pocket, like, this is a trick, like, I'm good at this, I'm going to do this move.
Yeah, or I once was.
Okay, well, tell me what this once was.
I don't know. I think I just had a lot more energy. Who knows? I'm old now.
Please. So do you know what that was? Was it your blowjob skills? Was it?
No, honestly, I think I just loved him. And so I was more like interested.
Enthusiastic.
And he was like very into like, he was a terrible boyfriend. Let's not
get
that twisted. But yeah, he was really, we connected in sex. So that was like where we met, like saw eye to eye, and like our passion was there, and like, that was it. So
and
we
were together.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I was most comfortable with him because we were also together for so long, even with all the bad stuff that went on. But that was the best sex even for me. So I think we both felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I'm like, I have not had good sex like that since then. And I feel like I'm out of practice now at this point. And then there was like a 7-month stint that I didn't even have sex because I was like, I'm waiting till I get a boyfriend. Then I got one and he had a cone-shaped penis.
Right.
Well, okay. And then now there's like this other person sort of in the picture that like comes and goes. But I feel like he comes and goes
because
he lives in another place.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't get comfortable with him because he's here and then he's gone.
Well, I think it's interesting. First of all, it's funny because, Lauren, we were saying that it's when you're with someone longer, you have that. And you had that same experience too, Jen. So I think, I don't think you've lost it. It's like riding a bike. I think sex, I believe that sex is that you can get it back. And I also think that knowing this now that we've had this conversation, I think when you're with them, you could try, you know, this guy who's visiting, if you feel even safe enough with him, I think it's more about you allowing yourself to kind of go there with him and like opening up and taking the sex that you want. Like, it's not about his pleasure as much as yours. And I think I say that to all women. I think that we are conditioned that, how am I performing and am I doing it right and is he going to like me? But I think for many women, you can kind of jump that hurdle of it having to be a 5-year relationship, is being like, fuck it, I'm going to take what I want right now. Not disregard him, but like, I'm going to move how I want. I'm going to get upside down. I'm going to turn this way and that way. I'm going to ask for it because we deserve it. And we're all responsible for an orgasm. And that in turn is the hottest thing for so many men.
I was going to say, I think that is their, like, I feel safe and comfortable. She really likes what she's feeling. And now he's turned on.
Exactly.
And that's and then it's a cyclical good thing. Yeah.
So I want you to bring that passion and enthusiasm, even though you haven't known him for 5 years. I think you've got it in you, Jen.
Thank you.
I'm feeling that energy from you because it's energy.
It's like nerves, though. I do feel like nerves. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need to do all of these things, but well, I haven't had sex in so long.
I still just be into it.
I also think that
it's not tricks.
Coming from the relationship standpoint, and my therapist did give this information to me, and I think it's useful. Let's be realistic too. So your relationship with this guy was not good. It was toxic emotionally. Yeah,
the 5-year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And your sex was very passionate, because a lot of times sex, passionate sex, can come from like a desperation. Yeah. Like you're really trying to hold on to something tight. And so it's the passion just lives there. And my therapist said to me, I had a man that I was with for a while. We had the best sex ever. My husband and I, we have great sex, but I wouldn't compare. The sex was different. It was more passionate with this guy. And you need to... it's more healthy to be in like more of a balanced situation where you do have passion in your sex, obviously, but that's not the only place. It sounds like your relationship with the ex was very extreme. Want to find the balance of like passionate sex and a regular, steady, healthy, safe, emotional.
Yeah. You said it was 5 years, or a few years ago.
Yeah.
The 5 years. So you're also at a different place too. So our bodies change over time. You know more now. You're older, more confident. So yeah, I'm not worried. I can't wait to hear about the next thing. I feel good.
Thank you.
Feel good about both of you. You guys, I have 5 quickie questions to ask both of you. You each have to answer, okay? But don't think about it too hard. These are quick. We're going to go back and forth. Okay, ready?
Well, I'm scared.
So, Lauren, what's your biggest turn on?
I like my breasts being touched.
Nice. Okay, Jen, your biggest turn on?
I like when someone kisses my neck.
Oh, yes. Okay, biggest deal breaker, Jen?
Being jobless.
Lauren, biggest deal breaker?
A bad relationship with like a close family, with family members. Like
doesn't like his mom.
Yeah, consistently like issues with everybody.
Okay. Lauren, what do you wear that makes you feel the sexiest?
Ooh, I like lacy lingerie. Okay. I like lace.
Lace is pretty. Yeah. Jen?
Satin.
Okay. What personality trait, Jen, do you look for most in a partner?
Humor, but also being more alpha than me, but with a sweet side.
Lauren?
I think alpha too, but I would say it more like, maybe this isn't a real thing, but I like a manly man, like throw a football, build a hammer, something into the wall, hang chop the wood. TV, chop wood. I like that because it represents like a caretaker.
Yeah.
And that's, so for me, that's symbolic.
Okay. Number one dating tip, Jen.
Be yourself.
Okay.
I have to piggyback on that because I cannot stand when women say, I can't text him back yet. I have to pretend I'm busy. No, don't pretend shit. Just do you.
That is so true. That's great advice. I think we all play games, but like once you're yourself, it's the sexiest thing. When you take what you want in bed, when you ask someone out on a date. I think times are different right now. It's 2018. I think when we could go after what you want.
Also, this is not like the old days where like you had to call somebody and hope they were home. Like everyone's got their phone in their hand. Respond.
Exactly. Yeah. Like don't pretend be an
you're
idiot.
Busy. Yeah, your phone's literally in your hand.
You do you.
Oh my God. I love it. Okay. Jen Golden, Lauren Leonelli. You can find them. It's Complicated Podcast on AfterBuzz TV every Wednesday, 6 p.m.
Yep. Yes.
They talk about everything. You can find them at Complicated Show on Instagram. Congratulations on your 150th episode.
Thank you. Congratulations on your Sirius XM show.
Thank you. It's really, it's been awesome. So where else, that's what they can find you at Complicated Show on Instagram. Thank you so much for being here, you guys. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we come back. We're getting into your emails. I love answering your questions. It's why I exist on the planet. So you can send an email, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Go to the website, sexwithemily.com. Click the Ask Emily tab. Include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks, guys. And Jamie's here to read the emails with me, which I love.
Hello. Okay.
Hello, Jamie.
Okay. So this one is from Jess, who's 24 in Pennsylvania. Dear Emily, I've been married for a year and a half. My partner and I have had issues before with mismatched libidos, but we're usually able to work it through. Lately, he hasn't been in the mood at all and has told me to just initiate or entice him, but it's really hard to figure out what he wants or likes. He's my second partner, but he's had a lot more partners than I have, so I feel really inexperienced and like I have no clue what I'm doing.
Hey, Jess. So here's the thing about this question. I think a lot of us think that there's some point we get to in life where we feel like, oh, I've had enough lovers and enough partners and I'm so experienced. But each partner gives us a new opportunity to learn. I don't want you to beat yourself up by feeling that you're inexperienced and you know what you're doing. Every time we have a new partner, it's hard to know what to do. you just need to find out more information here. You have to ask him when he says to you, I want you to initiate more. How the hell are you supposed to know what that looks like? It's going to look different to everybody. So ask him and say, how would you like me to initiate? Just get some more information around that so you know what turns him on. It can also help to schedule sex so it's easier to both for both of you to know, like, sex is happening on this day, and then you're like building up to it. You know Saturday night's your night, and that's when it's going to happen. So both of you essentially need to be talking more. You know, I say communication is lubrication, and prioritize your pleasure. Prioritize the pleasure in the relationship so you're both getting what you want. You're both on the same page. You figure out how often you want to have sex, what times of days work for sex. You can't just figure this all out on your own by him saying, I need this. You know, and also, what do you need? It sounds like if you haven't had a lot of partners, what a great time for you to figure out with him. Say, yeah, I can help initiate, but let's help me, babe, figure out what I'm into, because I'm not even sure yet. So this is an exploratory mission you guys are on for a long time. You're married, so have fun with this. Sex, you know, I want you to take the pressure off both of yourselves and say, you know what? We've only been together a year and a half. I want a long life of amazing sex. So let's start talking about it and figure out things that turned us both on and the best ways to have it and when to have it. So you got this, Jess.
Okay, this one is from Wes, huh? Jess and Wes. From Wes, who's 32 in California. Hello, Emily. Longtime listener of your podcast. I met a new woman and we hit it off very strong. We recently had very good sex and afterwards we laid there cuddling, getting to know each other a little more. She opened up to me about her past ex-boyfriends and how they ruined her confidence in bed. She told me she has a very hard time achieving orgasms with intercourse, but has no problem achieving with her toy, Bob, battery-operated boyfriend. I come from a pretty experienced sex lifestyle and have plenty of confidence in myself, and I love to please. I'm a gentleman at heart and want to continue to see her, so how can I talk to her and better help her to achieve her orgasms with intercourse? Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Wes, you do sound like a gentleman and a lovely guy. So I like this because it sounds like you guys are experiencing some really good intimacy. I love that you're already talking about things and cuddling in bed and you've had good sex and she's opening up to you. So this all sounds great. So just know that these are two kind of separate things you're talking about, that somehow her ex-boyfriends have ruined her confidence in bed. I'm not really sure what happened there. And then separately, she's having a hard time achieving orgasms with intercourse, which I can't tell here, but it doesn't sound like it, that she used to be able to orgasm during intercourse and now because she had past boyfriends who ruined her confidence, she can't. So I'm going to assume that she's never orgasmed during intercourse because most women don't orgasm during intercourse. And so see what I'm saying here is that, like, I don't know what happened with the ex-boyfriend. So you can definitely be a great guy to her, treat her well, help her with confidence if they were really like emotionally abusive. I'm sure you can do that. But the orgasms during intercourse thing is that it's not that you're going to be able to give her the orgasm. You can talk to her and say, I'd love to explore with you and figure this out. But if I were you, I would take the pressure off the orgasm with intercourse. Maybe work on giving her some more oral sex and working on, like, figuring out what turns her on, what are her hot buttons. If she's had some problems in the past, she might really need to be able to learn to trust you even more so she can truly let go. Because when we come out of bad relationships, it can be hard and her walls might be up and she might be shut down. But if you're patient and, you know, you have a lot of experience, and then you should know that women can take some time to get comfortable and to settle in. So I would just start having a really open talk about intimacy and that you want to explore with her. And, you know, it's okay if she wants to bring Bob, her boyfriend, her toy boyfriend, to bed, but also to play around, see how she masturbates. Then you could provide some pleasure. But I wouldn't get tripped off on the whole orgasm during intercourse things, because I'm telling you that can set up a lot of women up for failure, feeling like they're just never going to do it. They're not going to get there. But talking about giving her some amazing pleasure and learning and exploring together, that I'm all on board with. Thank you, Wes, for that email.
Okay, we have a fellow Emily who's 27 in New Mexico, and she writes, Dear Emily, I'm hoping to get some advice from you. I have my third first date ever on Friday, and I'm very nervous. I've been in serious relationships before, but have only started them with people I'm already friends with. And I'm trying to branch out and date new people. The guy I'm seeing Friday seems great, and I'm excited, but my question is, how do I navigate the conversation on a first date? I know I shouldn't hide things, but I also feel like there's a time and place for certain subjects, like baggage. Thank you for everything that you and your team do. Listening to your podcast this last year has really helped me gain self-confidence and made me realize it's okay to see a therapist, which your podcast finally helped me do.
Oh, I'm so glad, Emily. That makes me really happy to help a fellow Emily and to help everybody and realize that, yes, therapy is okay. We all need a little therapy. So this totally makes sense, Emily, about dating dating that you're like, you know, a little nervous and you just want to keep the confidence up. Think about with this is that I know it's a lot of pressure to have a first date and like, how do you do it? But how would you, what if it happens when you connect with someone at a party or when you're at a friend's barbecue and you don't know anyone? It's really the same kind of thing. Being yourself, being open, and just kind of talking, asking questions. It's really good to be a good listener and to ask a lot of questions. I don't think you want to reveal everything on the first date, and not just because you probably wouldn't reveal everything to a new friend on the first time you meet them. So it's really about finding more about this person and also revealing the things about yourself that you love or things you like doing and seeing if you guys are compatible and really also paying attention. I think that this is a great tip that I used to be so much about on dates, like, oh, I just want this person to like me, right? I'm going to say things and do things so they like me. And that felt right. But then I thought about like, well, I'm also here on this date. Like, you're both trying to figure out if you guys are a match. So do your best to bring your best self to the table when you're with him and like, and just kind of really pay attention to the words that he's saying. Like, do they match up with your values? Does it feel like someone that you could spend some time with, you know? So make it less about, I don't know, I guess just trying to impress and just being yourself. And that's very different than revealing everything. Like, because I know as women with our friends, we're like, oh, can we connect by talking about everything that's bad and wrong? That's how women connect a lot, or like all of our suffering. But with him, I think just make it light and be honest and try not to be too stressed about it. Take a few deep breaths, do what you do that can relax. And I think it's even nice to let him know that you're nervous. I mean, I think that there's nothing more authentic and real than saying, oh, this makes me nervous sometimes to talk. I mean, I think that's the realest thing that you can say, and it'll put you at ease. So be curious, ask questions, and be yourself. And just remember, it takes practice. So just know that if you leave a first date and you, if you feel this, leave this date, it doesn't feel great, keep going out. It's like everything in life. Dating is a muscle. And if we don't use it over time, it can get kind of shaky. If you've never done it, then you're building it up right now, Emily. So it's not your first or last date. So just do your best and keep getting out there. So thanks for that question, Emily. That's a really good question. Okay, hope you guys enjoy the show. God, I love talking to Jen and Lauren, and I love all of you. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.